Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is March 27th, 2016. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones too, and we are both of McFlugel.com. The show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/32. Before we get started with this episode, I want to bring a point of clarification up, or not even clarification, but kind of put a tie or bow on a story that I told last week about my experience with customs where they stole a sausage from me that I was trying to bring from the Frankfurt airport in Germany back to Philadelphia. And I did go on the customs site and it said, you know, animal products and meat, kind of a quick, can you bring it or can you not? And next to sausage, it said no. So I don't know what the reasoning is. I know we import sausage from around the world all the time, so, but that's that. At least I know that while it may be a bad rule, and I may disagree with it, that at least the agent didn't just make it up on the spot herself. So, with that, I'll pass it over to Slappy, and he's going to introduce our topic for us.
Yeah, thank you, Rollo. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We have a bit of sad news, but before I get to the sad news, I just want to give a little plug for Liberty Memes and the great job they did today. It was kind of funny. There was they went and found a couple police departments' Facebook pages, and the cops are taking selfies with the dried up plants they seized and some cash. And they completely trolled LaPel, Indiana's police department to the point they shut down their Facebook page. There's a couple others, Redford Township in Michigan, and another one that seized cough syrup, literally cough syrup. So check out Liberty Memes on Facebook. They're pretty good. But on to the bad news. We were recently informed of something that we were mistaken on, what we just weren't aware of, but it's called the free rider problem. And as defined by Investopedia, the free rider problem is a market failure that occurs when people take advantage of being able to use a common resource or collective good without paying for it. And anyone listening here, I realize you haven't paid for it. And so, Rollo.
Wait, they haven't?
I mean,
I thought you were just like holding all the money for us. We don't.
There's nothing there.
Just for the podcast? Just for the podcast, or like
podcast, blog, nothing. It's there's nothing there. There's nothing there. So I mean, I don't know what to do. I was just told about this free rider problem.
Well, we're obviously, this will be the last episode and the last blog post, because we're just shutting everything down. And do you know any lawyers? Because we should probably sue the internet for, you know, all of the, because value is determined by, you know, labor too. And we,
right. And we put a lot of time into this. And if you factor in all the reading we've done, the hours we spend researching and doing these and taking time out that we could be doing something else. And,
do you think that I like talking my friends' ears off about this kind of stuff?
Well, I would like it if we got paid for it.
Well, yeah, but we're not. So, I mean, I was
According to the free rider problem, is nobody would do anything if they weren't paid for it.
Right. So,
I mean, does that sum it up pretty good? Like,
yeah, all this time I thought there was like this big cash thing that we had that you were keeping, because I figured you would have told me if we weren't getting paid for this, that, because obviously, who would do anything that would benefit other people without getting directly paid by those people?
Right,
I thought there
stealing.
Was like
those people would be shirking, stealing.
Right. I thought there was
not
a little
paying their fair share.
I thought there was a thing that every time someone viewed our site that like we got paid somehow from them.
I mean, you pay every time you go to a website, don't you?
Can we change the subject?
I mean, Wikipedia, how much have you paid for that this year? Did you send your check in?
That's my Comcast bill pays
well,
them, right?
No, well, you have a Twitter handle, right?
Yeah.
You paid that bill this month, right?
But that's Twitter. Twitter. That's not the internet.
But I was told that no one would do anything if they weren't getting paid for it.
Right. So was this all a dream? Since we didn't get paid for any of the stuff we did. I'm trying to process all of this because it's tough
it
to understand.
It took me by surprise. You know what? If I didn't know about the free rider problem, I probably would have gone on doing this for free.
I know. Well, you know what? I give you credit for, you know, figuring this out and still joining this call with me tonight. Because, you know what? I probably wouldn't have done it.
Well,
like, I'm not going to pay for this, you know.
Now, seriously, though, there are people who will argue that the reason that we need government to do things like build the roads is because if they didn't, the road would be there and people might use it and not pay for it.
Right. Or if the market had to build the road, that there were a bunch of people living in houses and then somewhere on the other side of town, there's businesses and the businesses are like, wow, we'd love to get people to buy our stuff. And the people in the homes were saying, hey, we'd love to go to those businesses and buy their stuff. And they just like, I don't know how to, you know,
get over to do this. Yeah.
I mean, with all the marvels that have existed over the history of the world of like technology and engineering and all the complexities involved in that, you don't think that someone could just, stomp on the ground to level out the plants to make a path somewhere? I mean, animals do it in the forest, so.
Yeah, but they have a government.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
But now, back to being serious, one of the things we do hear, or at least I hear, is what about national defense? If you're defending the border or, you know, the town or whatever, everyone in there is being defended. Like, you can't just defend the guys to your left and right and not the guy in the middle. Everyone's getting defended. So what if that guy just refuses to pay?
Well, then the next guy in would have the option of paying or not. Because then the border, if he just gets overrun by whomever's trying to invade, if there were an invader, then the person, the property owner next in line would basically end up being the new border. And you know, if he just saw the guy ahead of him get steamrolled, then he probably would want to have some sort of defense.
All right, but what if, like, so for example, it's like businesses in Indiana, Chicago, they're in the middle of the country. The East and West Coast, obviously, on the borders. So say we got invaded from the East, or yeah, across the ocean, the whole thing, came in and started attacking Los Angeles. Why shouldn't the people in Iowa pay for Los Angeles to be defended?
Well, just like an average guy that lives in like Indiana or something probably wouldn't have much incentive to, unless it's he's got business interests there, in which case there is, you know, good reason to buy some sort of insurance to prevent or to fight back against an attack like that. So businesses, since an attack would hurt their bottom lines because
it would be devastating to their bottom lines.
Right. So there's a huge incentive there to, you know, prevent attacks from happening and have some sort of ability to fight back if they did. So, and just because some people don't, are going to benefit from it, but never have to pay a cent for it. Maybe they don't ever patronize these businesses, so none of their money's actually going to this defense. Well, I mean, it would be silly just to say, like, well, certain people are going to benefit without this, so I'm just going to let my business get destroyed. It would be like if we're next door neighbors and I bought fire insurance and you didn't, and I said, well, you know what, if your house catches on fire, they're going to come over and put that fire out so my house doesn't catch on fire. So I better cancel my fire insurance too.
Right. And now, obviously, the individual will be bearing the risk there because he doesn't have fire insurance. So when his house gets burnt down, he's going to have to rebuild it himself.
Right.
Because he didn't transfer that risk onto an insurance company.
Sure.
But I think of it, one, like you said, businesses are going to have an interest in protection. And why does it matter if everyone pays for it or not? Because the people with the multi-million dollar businesses obviously have a lot more at stake. And not only do they want to protect themselves, but they want to protect their customers. And the market would certainly find a way to do that, to keep everybody safe. It's just like if you're walking down the street and you saw some man just, you know, throw a straight right at a woman, you'd probably go in and protect her even though you're not getting paid for it.
Exactly.
And if you didn't, then I would think you're kind of a jerk, or the guy is just armed to the teeth or something, and you would just be completely ineffective.
Right.
Which then they could say, well, what if the Russians came and we don't have a government to protect us?
Well, you can have any situation. You can create any sort of scenario where you can predict the outcome. So if you say, okay, you have this private business that's going to protect you against a foreign invasion, but what if the rest of the world decided they were going to nuke you?
Right.
Well, I guess we all die. I mean, but how's a government going to protect you against that?
Right, exactly.
So I think there's a few bad assumptions that people make when they advocate for the free rider problem or say that the free rider problem is a thing. One of them is that they just imagine some sort of public good or thing the government provides. They imagine everything else exactly the way it is and then just that thing not there and say, well, how are you going to build it? Like, I was talking to someone recently and they said, well, what about drainage? You know, why would a business supply a sewer system when maybe people across the street and other businesses on the street are going to benefit from them? They don't have to pay for it. Why would one business build a drainage system? But what if the government disappears? The drainage systems disappear with it too. And if you were starting from scratch, you don't think that would be taken into account when they're building a building that, oh, hey, there's going to be water building up. Let's make sure it's got a place to go.
Well, just another thing. I never really understand why positive externalities are viewed as a bad thing. So What if I want to protect my house and I want to live in a safe neighborhood and I'm willing to pay for the entire neighborhood to be safe? Why is that a bad thing?
Exactly. I guess they're just saying that you wouldn't ever do that.
Right, but people do that.
All the time and all sectors of...
I mean, one of your favorite examples is taking care of your house and property values.
Right.
Why do people take care of their house? They're not forced. I mean, maybe there are. I bet you there are laws
there
about
are,
high
yeah,
grass.
There are some.
But that's not why people do it. People are never like, oh, I better cut the lawn or the cops are going to come arrest me.
Right. Well, we both own houses and we both have to cut the grass. And, you know, maybe it's that it's going on 2 weeks, a little bit past that since we've mowed the lawn. And part of it, it's like, I don't want to be the neighbor, the guy on the street that hasn't mowed his lawn for a while.
Yeah,
it looks like
having some personal pride a little bit, taking care of your stuff.
Right. And so.
But people benefit from that.
Right. And so should I charge people?
Or is there any reason why they would be responsible to pay you?
Exactly.
If someone's property value goes way up because you did new updates on your house and so did your neighbors, but the one neighbor didn't, but now his property value is a little higher, does he somehow owe you for that? What about taking a shower every day?
Exactly.
Do people owe you for that because they benefit?
That's the other bad assumption that they make is that, or I don't even know it's an assumption they make, but or assumption that they don't make. Literally everything that we do is some sort of positive in the world is an externality. That other people, you know, me going to work every day is an externality for basically everyone else. You know, I go out and buy food. Maybe since me going to work is a benefit to you, I should make you pay for my food. That's only fair.
Yeah, it's absurd.
And, you know, sometimes going back to the property thing, I think I was able to buy my house for a little bit under what the value would be normally because the neighbor to the north of me has a haunted house, basically, in woods and overgrown stuff. It looks terrible.
So
you can buy things for, you know, under their value.
And would you want to live in an area that's unprotected?
Right.
And has no way to be protected? Don't you think that's something? I mean, when people buy houses today, one of the things they always talk about is the school district and, you know, how are the taxes? That's what I normally hear. But people look into things. They don't just go places and then go, oh, well, now we're totally unprotected and it's dangerous to live here. However, if there was an area, and this is up to the market, that if there was an area that didn't want to be protected, I'll bet you their land would be pretty cheap.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be a way for people to buy a home, be a little less safe, but it'd be a lot less expensive too. And people can choose to do that.
Right. It reminds me of a story of probably over a year ago. It was in the paper, and it was about this couple who didn't realize they were buying buying a house next to an oil refinery.
And they closed their eyes when they looked at it?
Apparently. The husband has some sort of breathing condition, so the air where they live, it's not as fresh and clean as it might be in other places. So they're saying, you know, this isn't right. They're polluting us. And it's, well, didn't you do like Google Maps and kind of look around to see that huge thing right next to you? Or when you walked at the house and saw, you know, smoke coming out, not even smoke, water vapor coming out from, you know, cooling towers or something, or see these towers and everything. Oh, maybe that's something we should look at.
Just like, it was a couple of years ago, in the Philly papers, there was people complaining about the noise the airplanes make when they land. Like you didn't see Philadelphia International Airport when you bought the home.
Right.
You were happy with the price you paid for it.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
That was the point about the oil refinery. You were probably going, oh, wow, what a great deal. This is so undervalued. I wonder why. That's like another thing that maybe keeps the prices where I live suppressed is I live in the mushroom capital of the world. They use a lot of horse manure that they must ferment or something.
They use a lot of it.
It smells so, and you driving around in the morning after they just deliver it, and so it's nice and hot, and you nice fall or you know winter or spring morning, and you see it steaming up and everything, and it's pungent.
And so, it does stink out there if you ever drive through mushroom country.
You get used to it.
It stinks.
You get used to it though.
I'm sure you do, but it still stinks.
Oh yeah, I actually did have second thoughts when I was looking at one of the walk downs of the house. It was a hot and humid August morning, and I'm driving up and down the hills. And every time I went down the hill, I couldn't breathe anymore, and I couldn't remember if the house was on the top or the bottom of the hill. Fortunately, it was on the top of the hill. So, I really don't get the free rider problem. It's because it takes 3 seconds to think about to say, oh, well, that doesn't actually make sense. I remember I wrote the rebuttal to Lynn Paramore Stewart that I wrote.
Yeah, yes, I do.
About
that was pretty good. Actually.
Well, actually, we need government because they supply us with streetlights. And so I wrote an article replying that no, you don't. Actually, I think I wrote the first one was about how you could just go online and buy materials for a street light or just buy an actual light for outside for really cheap just to prove a point. And so she actually responded to me on Twitter and saying, you know, what happens when the government doesn't provide? We're going back and forth and I said something to the, you know, what happens when government doesn't provide you with a street light? And she says, well, I guess I can't go outside. I said, but I thought they took care of that for you. So where can you not go outside?
Well, it was, and she didn't reply after that.
Yeah,
or something.
It was done.
I remember when that was going on because I lived in an apartment at the time. And I'd go out for walks at night and listen to podcasts or whatever. And I remember the neighborhood I was walking through. And we might have even been texting about the article. I don't remember. But I realized there were no streetlights there. But about every third house or so had a lamp out front. And I had no problem walking through a dark neighborhood with no government provided lights because the people who live there, believe it or not, want their front porch lit up. So when they come home at night, they can see it. And you could probably see if there's any intruders or anything like that. It's nice to have light around, and people will do that. And I didn't ask any of the neighbors if they charged their neighbors who didn't have a light, but I have a feeling they didn't.
Well, are you sure? Because you might have been stealing. You should probably go pay.
Well, I did steal, so I should probably go back and give all those people something, because I did benefit from it and never paid for it.
Right. Do you have a light in front of your house?
I do on my front door.
Do you have?
I don't have a lamppost at the okay. at the corner at the street.
Okay, because I don't either, and I normally don't keep my light on my front yard or on my front door. But if I did, or if I did have a street light, I would have a collection basket out there.
Just, you know. And maybe a lock up the people who don't put something in there. But
well, of course, that's only fair.
Right.
Also, and I talk about this all the time, but it's another example of it. My neighbor goes around and plows everyone's driveways for him when it snows out with his tractor, and plows part of the street too.
Right, and then he goes around and collects money from everyone?
Yeah, actually he sends armed men who wear
badges. Does he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That's mm-hmm. the only way to do it, so.
Yeah.
That's good. But actually, I'll bet you appreciate that and like him and maybe even send a case of beer his way or something.
I did send him a case of beer. And now that I have a tractor.
Who asked you to do that?
Sorry?
So he plows your driveway, mm-hmm. your street, whatever, your driveway. What did he leave a note that says this is worth one case of beer? Like, why did you give him beer? I don't understand that. If nobody forced you to, why did you do it?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm trying to be a nice neighbor and I appreciate that he did something for me.
So common decency. Gotcha. Yeah.
Because I have, at that point, I had two hand shovels, and that was the blizzard we got last January. So I would have had to shovel, 16 inches of snow by hand, yeah. a nice 100-foot yeah. driveway.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
But it actually makes you wonder, the people who argue about the free rider problem makes you wonder about them. Like, what goes on in their head? Like, you really wouldn't do things if you didn't get paid?
Right.
And that sounds weird.
I can't imagine because the vast majority of people that I know are nice people and they're good, you know, they don't expect money for that stuff. They do nice things out of the kindness of their heart because they like being nice and not being a jerk.
Right.
So it's so funny that it's a contradiction of their own lives, basically.
But really, if someone wanted to, well, go ahead. But everyone sure. knows you're the guy who doesn't participate. Like, it makes you less willing to help the guy. Your neighbors talk about you a little bit. Nobody wants to be that person.
Exactly.
Maybe some people do, but, you know, that's up to them. Most people want to participate in society and have friends and get along with their neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Makes life a lot better.
Yeah, so anyway, we don't see the free rider problem as a problem at all. I don't know how people will say that's a market failure. It doesn't make sense because you see it all around.
I think it's one of those things where it's just always said that people don't even question it. They just think, oh, that's, you know, that's what it is.
It's got to be. Well, they learned it in school, so it must be right.
Right. Because it kind of, not to act like people are really stupid or anything, but it kind of makes sense if you don't think about it at all to say that, oh, well, there are certain things the government provides that it would be difficult to get everyone together to pay for it. So it's just easier to have everyone pay into a big pool that's taxes. And then the government, you know, manages these certain things. So if you only think about it that far and don't question any of that or have any sort of imagination to think, well, how else could it be done without using taxes in the government? Then I guess you're going to think that way.
Right.
So do yourself a favor and just question things a little bit and try to think through it.
I agree. So how about a free market story? I have one.
Oh, great. Because I was thinking of you're that's half the reasons I was one. Pausing because I was trying to think of
trying
one.
To come up with something.
Yeah, because we didn't talk about it beforehand.
Yeah, well, we didn't talk about this. So, but I don't think I brought this one up before, but we have...
it's okay, because I bring up the tractor and plowing every single episode.
Yeah, 1971 tractor. Yeah, never forget that one. Anyway, we meet with a group of guys once a month, and we talk about whatever we feel like talking about. Everyone gets 10 minutes to talk. We're definitely the cool kids in school. But we enjoy it. We have a good time, have a couple beers, smoke a cigar. And this week, one of the guys brought up businesses moving to the internet, going virtual, and people buying groceries online and clothes online and almost everything online. And I don't know that he was saying it's a bad thing. I think he was just pointing it out that brick and mortars are possibly going to go away, or that we'll have less of them, which I don't know. I mean, maybe we will not have them one day, but I think people value shopping. But anyway, I like to smoke cigars. And one thing I've noticed over the last 10 years is cigar shops are changing. And in part because buying cigars online is way cheaper than going into the store to get them. However, this is literally over the last 10 years, I knew where a handful of shops were. None of them had a lounge. There was one in the city that had a lounge, in the city being Center City, Philadelphia. But most of the shops in the suburbs did not have a lounge, a place to smoke. Now, when you walk in, almost every store has one. And either they move to a bigger location to get one, or they set up chairs in the center, and it's a nice little place to sit. There's always a group of guys there. They're always friendly. You walk in, the people are very willing to help you. They'll tell you all about what leaves are in each blend and what's new and what's coming out and what the flavor profiles are. And it's a really just an enjoyable experience. It's kind of like going to a bar, you know, where you'd go to hang out and drink beer. But you go, you walk in, there's a bunch of people there. You can sit down and have a conversation. And that really has changed a lot over the last 10 years. And part of it is that they saw, because this was a big discussion and still is in the cigar world, that internet cigar sales are cutting into brick and mortar. So what are they going to do? They have to innovate. They have to keep their customers. They have to provide more services and make it a more enjoyable experience. So you're not so much selling the cigar as you are selling the experience. And just like you can buy a six pack for a couple bucks, or you could go to a bar and spend $5 a beer, bars aren't really hurting for business because you go there for the experience. And so the cigar shops kind of saw this, innovate it, and make it a much more enjoyable time going to buy cigars. And you sit down, you have good conversations and meet good people, and just a little innovation in the market. So that was really what my story is that the market is always going to adjust and provide more for you. It's not like they just closed their doors and went away. And they didn't think, what can we do? Let's slash our, maybe they did slash employees, but I don't know. I haven't noticed it. But let's just cut our prices and try to match them. They don't. They try to provide more for the customer. So I think that's just an interesting aspect of the market that's pretty cool and makes smoking cigars a lot more fun, where you used to walk in, go in the humidor, pick up a couple things and walk out. Now you get to know the people who work there and the people who patronize the establishment. So that's my free market story. Did you have anything to add from our monthly meeting?
Just that, well, I just kind of thought of this. The show The Office was about a small paper company that was trying to compete against the big guys. And one of the things, now they weren't trying to compete against, well, they were actually trying to compete against online retailers. And when they went on their sales pitches, a lot of times when they would, you know, on the TV show, some going on a sales call, they would say, you know, we can't compete with the prices of the big companies like Staples or whatnot, but what we can do is, you know, great customer service and reliability and blah, 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 and we'll deliver your paper. So there's another example on a fictional TV show where they're showing how businesses, you know, have to compete because maybe they can't lower their prices. Maybe it's the nature of the business that the online retailers or maybe the big stores have the economies of scale where they can sell for much cheaper prices. So they got to find another way to stay competitive. And it's not always about what the price is. There's other ways that people can get some subjective value out of.
Yeah, it's just funny they really haven't lowered their quality. It's not like they made the store smaller and cut employees and cut, you know, whatever else they could cut out to bring their prices down. They kept their prices relatively the same. I haven't noticed huge increases in prices. They just provide more stuff to make you want to go there. Mm-hmm. And some of them charge a monthly fee, but they give you 24-hour access to the lounge, and the free rider problem comes into effect, because every cigar store I've been in, they let you have access to the lounge if it's their normal operating hours, even though they have people who pay a monthly fee or an annual fee to use it 24 hours a day. And nobody seems to mind, even the people paying for it. So I'm not sure how that actually works since I recently heard about this free rider problem, but it does somehow work just fine, and people get along and actually enjoy going there, even though some people pay for it and others don't.
Yeah, that reminds me. So when someone goes to the mall, do they have to buy something at one of the stores? Or can they're not allowed to just walk around and, right?
Well, that sounds nice, Rallo, except for the fact that that wouldn't happen, because no one would open a store if people got to walk around and not buy something.
Oh, that's true.
So...
And you're required every time you go on Amazon to buy something, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. That's what I've always assumed, so I try to limit
how often I go. Try not to go to that website.
Yeah, it can be a money pit.
Right. So, anyway, that's all I got for this week.
Yep, that's all I got. So be sure to check out the show notes page, mcflugel.com/32, where you will find links to subscribe to us on Stitcher and iTunes. Also, you can find us and subscribe on YouTube, where we have the podcast episodes and other videos we're putting out, trying to get a lot of the articles in spoken form. So if you don't like reading, you can just listen to one of us talking. Also, like us on Facebook and follow us both on Twitter. All those links will be in the show notes page. So...
Yeah, thanks. And if you know anyone, you know any newbies to libertarianism, people who sound like maybe they're interested but they're not getting it, tell them to check out our website. Not all of our articles, but a majority of them are geared toward people just learning, trying to get basic economics down and libertarian thought, and send them the podcast. I think they'll enjoy it. If you have any questions or comments, send them on the website. We'll respond. We'll have a discussion. If you disagree with us, please tell us. We'd be happy to... defend our stance.
All right. With that, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Have a good week. Peace.